I forgot. You're broken. I don't want to play with you anymore.
I'm here with the man himself, Robbie Starbuck, who may get a free membership to Tractor Supply for the rest of his life. I'm not exactly certain. But he is the man who brought us possibly the greatest win in the culture war in my lifetime for conservatives. Robbie, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I do consider this the biggest boycott win we've ever had.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Especially based on the results, which have been delivered over the past 12 hours in such a comprehensive victory for common sense and also for the customers who shop at Tractor Supply. And it's been an incredible journey. Why don't we start at the beginning with your initial viral tweet here. So here's what got it all kicked off. Robbie Starbuck saying, "Hey, man, I live in Tennessee. I love Tennessee. But this company's gone woke. And this thing went thermonuclear viral." What was the initial reaction to this, Robbie?
Well, I think it was what we expected. People were shocked, you know, because to be honest with you, this all started with a whistleblower. They came to me, they worked at Tractor, and they said, "Hey, this company has gone so far off course from the values of the customers and its workers in the stores," because in the stores, the vast majority of the workers are conservative. I've had so many of them reach out to me thanking me for this whole thing. But in corporate, it's a different story. So when we found that out from the whistleblower, I said, okay, we're throwing all of our team at this. Everybody's researching this from every angle, every executive, figure out where this went wrong, how it went wrong, and what's happening. And so we identified it, we put together a plan, and we said, okay, we're not going to do this thing that has been done with boycotts where people are unfocused, they're all over the place, they last one news cycle, and that's it. We are going to stay on this story until we get change. And that's what we did. We stayed on it for over 3 weeks. And I think at every turn where people were hoping, oh, maybe they've run out of material, we did not run out of material because we did all the heavy lifting beforehand. Nobody could delete anything or whatever. We had it all. And so I think that that made a big difference here. But the reaction was just, I mean, seismic. People were shocked and disgusted because, like myself, most of the people who go to Tractor Supply have farms. You know, I've got cattle, right. I've got chickens. And this is not who we are.
So why don't we, before we move on to some incredible results and happy endings, why don't we start with what information you got on Tractor Supply? Obviously, you have an 8-minute video here where you've detailed it, but what can you summarize it for us? What did you find from your whistleblowers?
Yeah, so I mean, we got photos from inside that was showing that there were trans flags inside distribution centers, and there were all of these DEI monuments, basically, with like Juneteenth and the affinity groups they'd created. That inside, they had sort of created all these affinity groups where you divided people along identity lines. And I think that's incredibly dangerous when you start identifying, you know, your employees by what identity group they belong to. And it's really like a slippery slope there, you know. But we identified that also they had DEI hiring practices where they were explicitly stating they wanted to hire 50% more Black managers. Well, to me, that sounded like racial hiring practices, which are not legal. You know, it's yet to be seen exactly what that looked like on the inside. But I do know that on the surface, that's how it appeared to me when you're saying explicitly we are, you know, looking at this goal of hiring 50% more Black people. It's telling me you're explicitly looking at race and tracking race. I think there's a problem there. But one of the big issues I had is, you know, beyond my political values, my number one thing is my faith values. You know, as I've gotten older, I've gotten, you know, more dedicated in those values. And so when I go and spend my money at a store, I want to know it lines up with those values. I don't force my values on other people, but I do expect that when I give my money to somebody, it's not going to be used to support causes that are diametrically opposed to my religious beliefs. So when we found out that they were funding not just Pride events, but events that had drag shows for kids and events that, you know, really, in my view, were totally inappropriate. And then you've got them funding groups that are pro-illegal immigration. One of the groups that they funded said, you know, they're working around the clock to stop deportations in the Trump administration. And another group, you know, they gave them some money, Waco Pride Network. And if you go to Waco Pride Network's website right now, you will see they're doing a summer camp for sixth graders in conjunction with Planned Parenthood that teaches those kids exclusively about sex. It is a sex summer camp. And no, I am not joking. I wish I was. I'm not exaggerating. Again, I wish I was. That is literally what's on their website that they're promoting. And while Tractor Supply didn't, you know, fund that summer camp, they funded that group, Waco Pride Network, which allows them to then go and do things like that, you know, because money's fungible. It's kind of the same argument the government's had forever. Oh, it doesn't matter that we're giving all of this money to Planned Parenthood. It's not directly funding abortions. We're just funding the building and the money gets moved around however it does. But as long as on the item line, it doesn't say abortion, everything's fine. It's BS. You know, money moves around. And so I knew as a Christian, as a dad, I didn't want my money going to that. And that was a big motivator behind this whole thing.
Wow. I mean, you were joined, of course, by the thing that probably scared them the very most, which was this pretty remarkable graph, which will send a shiver down the spine of any executive when they start to see their stock doing this and when they begin to see a collapse. And you wiped billions off of the market cap of Tractor Supply, which is a Fortune 500 company. So this is like, This is something that had the rolling potential to become the next Bud Light.
Yeah, and not just that. I mean, it was close to $3 billion loss in market cap. You know, there's some key differences between Bud Light and Tractor Supply. And the reason why this was much more successful is because the demographics, they're on our side. You know, their customer base is far more conservative than Bud Light, and Bud Light skewed conservative. But the reason Bud Light has not come back and recovered from what happened is because they did not do what Tractor Supply just did. I predict people will go back to Tractor Supply now because here's the reality. We just got the biggest win that we have ever had on this front. And if we want to see more companies do the same thing, turn away from all these woke values, we need to show them it is not only safe to do so, you will be rewarded for doing so. And you can see that today reflected in the stock price at Tractor Supply. Their stock went up today after announcing a ban on all this stuff. That is a massive paradigm shift because, you know, what the left has tried to do is make these companies believe that their real customers are BlackRock, Vanguard, the Human Rights Campaign, all of these globalist entities that have far left values. And basically, you have to suck up to them and you've got to cater to their crazy ideology or we're going to ruin you. And so they started to believe these people are their customers. Well, they're not, you know, and I think companies are finding that out now. Their customers are us. They need us to walk through those doors. And so if we're focused and we pick the right companies and we go one by one, that's very important. Go one by one. Don't focus on 20 different things. Focus on one, do it well, extract change, and you're going to start to see other companies change without being the one that got exposed because they don't want to be the one that got exposed.
Yes. And people were clearly, the market was clearly reacting, though, to your reporting, I guess, is the point I'm trying to show here is that the trajectory of the stock like had an immediate reaction. And companies like Bud Light, who don't respond, have, I think, hundreds of billions of dollars wiped off their market cap that presumably they'll never get back. And maybe we can talk about the differences there, because you texted me yesterday a couple of flame emojis and said, we've done it. We have victory here. And I was shocked, to be quite frank with you, because we've never seen a victory so sweeping and complete, and you delivered. This is your post yesterday talking about the total bending of the knee, capitulation 180 from Tractor Supply. Can you talk me through, like, what did Tractor Supply decide to do? And what was your reaction to this?
Yeah, so I've got here, actually, this is an email that the CEO, Hal, sent to every employee at Tractor Supply. And an employee gave it to me. And essentially, he admitted in this email that Tractor Supply had veered off course, lost their balance, and they needed to change now and reflect the values and perspectives of all their customers and team members. Mm. And to help regain their balance, they released this. This is the statement everybody saw go viral yesterday, the one that I think is over 10 million views on their social media accounts. And the reality is it's shocking. This is the first Fortune 300 company, not even 500, top 300, to ever do this, to ever back off of these values. And they're purging everything. If you go to the old DEI pages, so if you go like to the search, whatever search outlet you use, and you search Tractor Supply Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and you do it for TractorSupply.com, you're going to see the auto-populate of a bunch of old pages. Click those, and you're going to see all of those pages pushing the woke stuff have been taken down. So they're purging this externally and internally. They're removing all DEI. Okay. So that means all of the DEI positions at Tractor Supply are gone as of this morning, and they've removed all DEI goals. The big one here, one of my favorite, is they are no longer working with the Human Rights Campaign. They are not submitting data to them. And the Human Rights Campaign is maybe one of the most dystopian names for what this company or this group actually does. They're essentially an operation to force far left values into corporate America. That is their entire purpose at this point. There is nothing about it that's about human rights, in my opinion. And I think you'd be hard pressed to find anything about what they're doing that has to do with human rights. And so this is a major loss for them. They're shocked this morning. They put out the statements to, you know, the left-wing outlets. They can't believe what's happening. And I think they're a few steps behind, and they don't realize this is the start of something, not the end of something. And they also said they're refocusing team member engagement groups on mentoring, networking, and supporting the business. So that's a reference to all those affinity groups I was talking about that are focused around identity labels. You know, they had a gay group, they had a black group, they had a Latino group, they had an Asian American group. So you're separating all your employees into these groups. And what's interesting, by the way, just as a side note, is you have an affinity group for every race except for white people. And me being Latino, I find that ridiculous. My kids are part white. You know, my wife's Scottish. So I'm like, okay, how would policies like this affect my kids? It's very clearly exclusionary to them. And I think that's wrong. I think that ultimately what they're promising to do here is unify, and that's healthy for everybody. And I think, you know, if people are trying to find who are the sane people in this situation, just look very clearly at what each side is asking for. The Human Rights Campaign, the far left, the Democrats, they're asking corporate America to bend the knee and support every one of their social values, ideals, and political goals. Myself and the people like you and the people who have helped make this happen, supporting this campaign that I put together, we're asking for something very simple. Let's go back to sanity. Let's let businesses be businesses again. No politics, no pushing social values, just do good business, make good products, do customer service. That's a return to sanity. And I think to normal people in America, they look at those two very different views and visions for where America and business can go. And one looks very attractive and normal, and I think people are hungry for normal. And the other one looks pretty insane when that side basically demands that everybody bows down to their belief system. And so I think that's really great on the affinity group front that they are going to get rid of that. And it's just going to be about networking, everybody together, unify. We're all a team. That's how businesses should be run. And I will absolutely praise that as long as I can. They're changing their donation strategy. So they explicitly say, and this is what has got the left really fired up outside of the DEI thing. They explicitly say they will not be funding pride campaigns, pride groups, you know, drag shows, all that stuff that I had exposed. And instead, they're going to focus their donation efforts on veterans, animal welfare, agriculture education, and they're going to stop those non-business activities like the LGBTQ plus stuff and voting campaigns, because I exposed this voting campaign they did as well. And they're going to withdraw their carbon emission goals and focus on land and water conservation efforts. You know, so that last one on the land and water conservation efforts, again, very smart. They were using previously the language of the left when it came to, quote, climate. Okay, so they were talking all about climate change and how it was this impending disaster and whatnot. But the truth is, it mirrored the problem in politics for why environmental stuff is seen the way that it is. Because in truth, if we really wanted to change things, if the left wanted to change things, they would do what Trump did last night. Talk about having clean air, clean water, a clean environment, conserving land for our kids in the future. That's something we can all agree on. And if you start from there, you can do a lot of amazing things. The fact that they always start from the furthest position shows their real hand here. And it's that they don't want change. They want to argue. They want donations. They don't want to solve a problem. And I think that this is smart because this is the language we should be using in all politics and in business. And it's how do we find the most unifying way to say these things and get good things done? And so I'm very pleased with the statement. I think that it speaks for itself in terms of how monumental it is.
Again, we began this conversation by saying there's never been a victory so swift in the culture war and so conclusive in the culture war, not in my lifetime. And so this truly is monumental. Your whistleblowers who got this all started, are they happy with this result?
They're incredibly happy. One actually reached out to me and they sent me a little video and they were crying when they got the email. And but I couldn't even tell you the number of Tractor Supply employees who have reached out over the past 24 hours, just overjoyed with the result here. I've only gotten one negative thing from somebody who claims to be a Tractor Supply employee. And I engaged that person and talked to them. And after talking to them over the last 24 hours, they now understand my position, why I did this, and they are not upset anymore. And I think that, you know, when you're able to explain the real strategy here, it's not to make Tractor Supply, you know, a right-wing booster. Everybody knows my politics, not a secret, but it's to make all companies sane again, to make sure that all of this stuff just doesn't infect everything we do. I mean, I feel bad for my kids sometimes. They're growing up in a world where, you know, their generation gets a lot of heat because, yeah, life is easy for them in some ways. But there's one thing about their generation that none of us had to experience. They're growing up in a time where literally everything is divisive and about politics. Everything. And that's irritating. I mean, that goes down to every single thing they do. I mean, even my daughter, you know, during COVID, you know, she's trying to do soccer. And I got removed as a coach because of my position on masks, and I refused to wear one for soccer. I mean, it was ludicrous to me, but everything had been politicized, you know, so she made the choice. She wasn't going to do soccer if I was being removed as a coach. And so, you know, these are the types of things our kids are facing on every front, and it's horrible. And I just want our kids to grow up in a world like the one I grew up in, where as a child of a refugee from communism who came here with nothing, penniless, I was able to create success in multiple different industries with no excuses, even though I'm in one of those minority groups that the left would like to make you believe is so disadvantaged and needs to climb uphill to get anything done. And it's basically impossible to succeed. You know, I want my kids to grow up in the world I was in, not in this left-wing fantasy land where anybody who's not a specific type of identity group can't succeed and you're automatically a victim. And I think this is a great step toward that.
Yeah, this is a great step away from the tyranny of the minority, which is, of course, how you get societal collapse in a zero-trust society. It's so interesting that you had one. I would assume there'd probably be one employee that'd be upset about this. The vast majority of Tractor Supply employees and customers, they're not down with this. They just want to go buy chicken feed and chicken wire, right? And dog food. Like, this is what they want. And they don't want this to be political. And I guess you bring up like a great, far more esoteric point here, which is why is everything political? Why, you know, when I grew up in the 90s, and I assume you did as well, we have children that are relatively the same age. You know, you used to be able to go to a sporting event and drink a beer and cheer for a team and watch athletes and go to a movie even afterwards on the same weekend. And none of it was political, but none of it would have divided you and your Democrat friend, right? All of it would have been uniting. And so like what you're heading towards is a very, very dark society here where you have tyranny of the minority and also you have a zero trust society, right? Because everybody's out to get everyone else.
Yeah. And here's my warning to people, you know, my family coming from a communist country. This isn't all just some coincidence that this is happening on so many different fronts, all going after different pillars of culture. The left understands something, you know, they're an increasingly radical party. I say they're a modern form of communism at this point, which is hard for some people to chew on. But when I explain it, I think most people get it. And it's kind of complicated, but in essence, to try to boil it down, in communism of the past, our parents and grandparents believed that they had to try to take a hold of means of production. Well, that's no longer necessary. So why would you do that and risk the potential strife of the public saying, hey, this seems like it's kind of tyrannical? Instead, let's take, for example, big tech. The Democrats ultimately control every single thing that the big tech companies do. So when you have total control why would you need to take over the industry? You can just control it and have the veneer of freedom. And that's what the left is kind of creating on every front, is trying to create a society where there's this veneer of free markets, but in reality, the Democrats control every single move that these companies make, and they will do anything to help that party. So everything's in service of the party, very Orwellian. And I think that, you know, my warning to people would be this: if you don't act now, you don't step up now, you are veering toward a future like the one my family lived in Cuba, where you could lose everything, lose all your friends, your business, your home, all of it. And here's what's crazy, though. My family had somewhere to go that was free. You don't. You don't have somewhere to go. Like, this is it. America's it. If America falls, freedom falls. That's the truth. And so people need to wake up, keep that voice, you know, shouting the truth out there, because if you're not telling the truth, you're not standing up for your values, especially the men out there. We have such a duty as men, as husbands, as leaders in our families to voice the truth. If we're not willing to stand up for our values, well, who the hell is? You know, I mean, yes. I think we have to ask that question. Who the hell is going to stand up for our values if we won't? And so you've got to be willing to take risks now, because if not, everything you're worried about right now, like your job or a raise or promotion or your friend that might be mad at you, you're going to lose it all anyways. And you're going to lose it without having ever had the honor or integrity to fight for what you believe in. And so I think people need to understand where this goes if we don't fight back, if we don't have strategic sort of plans to win back the culture and normalcy in America for our kids.
That's right. And so moving on to my final question for you, Robbie, which is, what is your strategic plan to replicate this? Because presumably you could go disrupt almost every company in America given this model, because I believe, well, maybe some companies don't have as conservative as a user base or customer clientele as Tractor Supply. Virtually every company has a customer base that just wants them to make beer or play a sport or make a dog food. Most people don't want visceral politics shoved into their everyday life and the products they use. I think the vast majority of Americans are sick of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there's no question about that, Benny. People are so sick of it. They just want normalcy again. And you know what I was talking about before the show started? Psychologically, the big value here is that, you know, when was the last time you voted for somebody and you felt like you won something, like you really won a battle? For me, it was 2016 when we got Trump in there. It changed so many things. The paradigm of politics entirely shifted for the first time in my lifetime. The uniparty was wounded in a way that nobody imagined they could be. And so, you know, now we've got people hungry for change. They're hungry for a win, for somebody to fight to the end and make sure they get something of value. That's why people have been so interested and invested in this story. And I think we'll continue to be as we choose new targets, and there will be new targets. Next week, I'll be revealing who the next target is, because we're deep in research right now. We want to make sure we have everything tightened and locked up before we jump into that. But the strategy here is very simple. Number one, we understand how and why boycotts failed in the past, because the wrong companies were chosen. There was no focus and there was not a deep enough dive on exactly who they were. And so we're doing and correcting all of those things with our plan. Number one, you know, is a smart strategy to go after Starbucks right now? No, it's not a smart strategy. If I'm being completely honest, their demographic base is too split. Yes, we could get some of their customers angry. Yes, some of their customers might not come back, but Starbucks could weather that storm. And to be perfectly honest, you know, that's not going to result in them changing things at this juncture. Now, if you go the other way and you understand that a successful boycott means starting at the companies closest to you ideologically, and figuring out the ones who have been infiltrated by the far left, and showing that customer base of people who are very similar to your ideology exactly what that company's become, well, now you've got the makings of a successful boycott. Mm-hmm. And so I think that you could expect our next targets are going to be working from the right to the left, because here's the reality. If we extract change from a myriad of companies on the right and the center, well, then eventually this becomes so much of a norm that the companies on the left start to feel pressure. They're the weird ones now who don't have the right policies. And so that's how we're going to move it, is go from the right to the left. And I think that that's going to end up being a very successful strategy for ultimately changing the mood and the policies in corporate America.
It is profound and it works. And you're actually changing things, unlike an entire archipelago of conservative think tanks and nonprofits in Washington, D.C. You've done more than the whole lot of them combined, plus their billion-dollar endowments. And so, Roddy,
thank you. You know what's funny? You know what's funny? Wall Street Journal called me right before I came on, okay, and they asked me all these questions. They spent so long reiterating the question of who's funding you? Who's funding you? I was like, you guys totally misunderstand the paradigm of politics right now. Nobody needs to fund me. I'm not being funded by somebody. Me and my wife care enough about this stuff to spend our own money. The only money that comes in is people who subscribe to me on X. That helps pay for some of the team, but most of the stuff comes out of my pocket because I genuinely want to change the country. They almost can't conceive of that because their side is so laden with people that need to be paid off by George Soros or some other person to do anything that they think is a move in the right direction. Well, for me, this is just, this is a personal deal that I'm not going to let go of. We need to change this country for our kids. But it is funny, you know, those think tanks that get billions of dollars and they do nothing but write papers that nobody reads. Well, we've got a new model here, and I think it's going to be far more successful than anything they've ever done.
So you can subscribe to Robbie just by clicking this button right here. I'm going to do it after we're done recording because I don't want to give everyone my credit card information. But this is, as Robbie just said, this is the best way to support him. He's got 500,000 followers on X. We can get him to 1 million, hop in there and support the work of somebody who's fighting and landing punches. And more importantly, winning actual battles. It's amazing. This man is responsible for the greatest culture war win that our side has had in a generation. That's a matter of fact. And so, Robbie, Godspeed, sir.
Thank you, Benny. I appreciate it. You guys are awesome. And I appreciate how you guys amplified this story the whole time. You know, there were actually, this is very interesting, last point before I go. Mainstream media didn't cover this. None of the big right-wing media outlets even covered this. None of them, literally zero. The only people who helped get this across the line were people like you, Chaya, Libs of TikTok, you know, End Wokeness, Cat Turd. I actually remember this funny thing where a leftist was making fun of Cat Turd talking about this. They're like, oh, I'm sure Tractor Supply cares about losing the business of Cat Turd. Apparently, they don't understand the audience of Cat Turd because that is literally Tractor Supply's base of customers. So,
yes,
you know, but people like us, we made this happen. Not the corporate media, not even the big right-wing media outlets. They avoided this story. And I'll leave people to try to figure out why that was. But this is a win for all of us, and it will continue.
Hey, man, we're fighting right alongside of you. I grew up in a cornfield. I lived at Tractor Supply growing up, man. This was near and dear to my heart. And, you know, I hate losing things that I love. And I didn't want to lose Tractor Supply. And I'm so glad that you did this work because now you've sort of reopened Tractor Supply for so many people that actually love that store. And so all's well that ends well. It's an amazing thing. It's a story with a happy ending. What a world.
Yep. Thank you so much, Benny. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Robbie. Godspeed.